Ladies and gentlemen, Bob Lapine said, in addition to being in constant communion with God, we are to spend regular periods of time in focused one-on-one interaction with our Creator. And what a privilege to be able to do that, to have access to the throne room, the throne room of heaven. And as I mentioned that, I recall a very powerful song and album, I believe C.C. Winans sung many years ago, called The Throne Room. Very powerful music, very powerful singing and words. The throne room of heaven, anytime we choose, is a divine benefit we should not ignore, and we get that benefit, of course, through none other than Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Can somebody say amen? Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us and grant us your grace and your strength, your fortitude, and the power of your Holy Spirit to commune with you throughout this morning, this afternoon, this evening, to pray, to be in secret prayer with you throughout the day, to pray without ceasing in a very real sense. Help us to keep our hearts and minds stayed on you. Keep us, Lord, therefore, in perfect peace. And we pray that you'll pave the way for each and every one of us. Open up doors for each and every one of us under the sound of my voice, live and on demand. And, Lord, bless us to be successful as you are successful and as you count success. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Ephesians 5:33, we dealt with the husbands alone on yesterday. And now we are going to touch on the husband and wife real quick from Ephesians chapter 5. The Bible reads in Ephesians chapter 5 verse 33, nevertheless, here's what Paul is saying that God wants us to do as husbands and wives. And by the way, if we fail to do it, shame on us. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular, talking to husbands still, so love his wife even as himself. Not the cute thing on the job, sir, that you're always complimenting, and she looks her best on the job. But I assure you, she doesn't look like that at home. In the same way you feel about your wife in her nightgown and pajamas and not appearing as attractive as she used to, her husband feels the same way about the cute little hottie you call out on the job. So we're not talking about that. Now, you don't need to be in love with her. You need to love your wife, not the secretary on the job, not the receptionist at the church, not your so-called ministerial assistant or executive pastor or whatever, your wife. And you need to be real about that. You need to tell the truth to yourself about that and stop playing games. So allow me to repeat that in your hearing and in my hearing. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. Love your wife. He repeats that. Love, you say, well, I don't feel like it, man. She don't take care of herself like she used to. She doesn't look hot like she used to, and so forth. But you know, let's keep it real. You don't look as hot as you used to either, sir. Oh no, you used to be ripped. You're not ripped anymore yourself. You're not where you used to be either. And that's just life. And you got to deal with it. And choose. It's not based upon feeling. Sir, ma'am, it's not based upon feeling. Choose to love your wife with God's love. And there are some ladies still out there saying, I don't want God's love. I want your love. I want to feel that Romeo and Juliet thing again. Well, that's long gone. Okay? B.B. King told you the thrill is gone. The thrill is gone. You know it's gone. And thank God, however, for those couples that Charles Swindell dubbed years ago, people who strike the original match. Those husbands and wives who, man, they just got it going on, loving each other and so forth for years and years. And not only with God's love, it got a flame going on that's a Romeo and Juliet kind of thing. And thank God for those couples. Don't be envious of them. Don't be jealous of that fire, that spark that they still have. When they get out the car to walk into Walmart, they automatically reach for one another's hand after 40 years, 30 years, walking in the door, holding hands. God bless them. And just because you don't have that, don't be envious of them. Don't be mad about it. Don't be trying to get their husband. Don't be trying to get their wife. Amen, somebody. I thought this was a devotion. Pray for them to stay together. It's a beautiful thing. I have some friends who have that original match situation. The fire still burning after 30 years, 35 years, 40 years, 50 years. You still see the spark. You still see that flicker in their eyes when they look at each other. Praise God. And just because you don't have it doesn't mean that others don't have it. And you ought not to be envious and jealous of them and try to get what they got. Be content with what you have and make the best of it. Even if the thrill is gone. The thrill is gone, baby. And the wife, in verse 33, it doesn't matter whether you love them that much. You ought to. The Bible tells you to love your wife. But the main thing that man needs, the proof of your love for him, rather, is this: respect him. The wife, see that she respects her husband. Stop talking about your husband like he's a dog to your girlfriend. Talking on the phone. Oh no, the beast has arisen. Let me go. I got to go. The beast is up. And there's certain things that he's demanding of me. Honey, child, the love is gone. But I got to do what the beast wants me to do. Otherwise, it's not going to be a good day. So, shh, bye. Okay, I'll talk to you later. Stop running down your husband to your girlfriends. Stop writing about your husband in your blogs and mentioning him like in the third person, like you don't even know him. And everybody in the world knows you're talking about your husband. Little secret, slick statements you say. Stuff like sometimes you have to let someone go if they're not willing to do what God tells them to do. And so I am, sometimes you have to let someone go. As wicked as the devil, you know it. Stop trying to embarrass your husband. Stop going out lying on your husband to the pastor and the pastor's wife when you are constantly provoking him and there's problems in your marriage because you keep on provoking him. disrespecting him. You say, preacher, how do I disrespect my husband? I'm just communicating. No, here's what you're doing. Rolling your eyes back around your head like a demon. Blowing. like one of these big old animals. You're not saying I can't stand you. You're not saying I don't respect you, but you're saying it with your actions. All that has got to go. Blowing, rolling your eyes, smacking your lip, all in front of your children. And you wonder why your children smack their lips at you. You wonder why your children roll their eyes at you when you try to tell them something, because you do the same thing to their father, and they have seen it for years. If there's no love and there's no respect in the marriage is shot to hell and is on life support, and somebody's getting ready to pull the plug. So watch yourself. Be careful. Allow me to read that passage in your hearing again. You say, well, I don't feel like doing this. It doesn't matter about that. It doesn't matter about how you feel. Who cares? You made the commitment to God and to this woman and to this man. Keep your word to God. And you do what you know you ought to do. And if you have to do it for your children, so be it. It's worth doing it for your children. So nevertheless, whatever, let every one of you, in particular, I'm talking to you, sir, Paul is saying. So love his wife. This is not based upon your feelings. It's a choice. And that eliminates a whole lot of problems right there. Choosing to do the right thing. Yes, you have the ability to choose. But I feel, who cares? Who cares how you feel? I feel all kinds of ways, but I'm still here after 30 years. And I've never left my wife. I've never filed for divorce. Love her even as himself and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would heal every marriage, every Christian marriage, save every marriage couple, every couple that does not know you, so that they can have a chance at keeping their marriage and their family together. So many are on the rocks, and people know about it. Family members know about it. Church members know about it. And so many more are on the rocks and nobody knows about it. In the house they have not spoken for 3 months. They pass as ships in the night. They haven't had sex for the same amount of time. And so they're constantly tempted with others. And they don't understand what dangerous ground that they're on. So rebuke and bind the devil, his demons, and his hosts from all of these marriages. Save those that are lost. Revive those who are saved. For your glory, praise, and honor, and for Jesus Christ's sake and for the children's sake. Amen. Please join me, my beloved, in reading our devotional Bible passage, Psalm 75. That is Psalm 75, 1 through 7. Unto thee, O God, do we give thanks. Unto thee do we give thanks. And why don't you do that this morning? Stop complaining and whining. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. Oh, nearly 300 people just died in Somalia, just walking down the street. Blown to pieces. the number might rise to 100 people killed in wine country in California. Pardon me, soon. 58, 59 killed in Las Vegas. You still have your life. Stop whining and complaining and thank God for the day that you have today. For that thy name is near, thy wondrous works declare. When I shall receive the congregation, I will judge uprightly. The earth and all the inhabitants thereof are dissolved. I bear up the pillars of it, Selah. I said unto the fools, deal not foolishly. And do you know there's some foolish acting people? We never call them fools because Jesus commanded us not to do that. But we got people in our family, listen to me carefully, you know it's true, who don't seek advice and then they mess up and got to backtrack, won't receive advice. That's the mark of a foolish person practicing foolishness. You are a wise person when you seek counsel before you make a decision, before you do stuff. You are considered a foolish person if you don't do that. And we have people who are living foolish lives, constantly doing foolish things and wondering why they can't get any traction. So we say, the Word of God says here, this entire verse says, I said unto the fools, I didn't say that, God said that, I said unto the fools, I said unto the fools, I said unto the fools, deal not foolishly. I have told my children down through the years, even if you're not wise, be smart. We have people in our family who think they're wise and they're not. They do not have wisdom. They lack wisdom. But I have taught my family down through the years, even if you're not wise, at least be smart. And avoid doing things that's going to cause pain upon your behind or in your life. It's better, how many of you saints out there, you know, it's better to avoid doing stuff that causes pain than to have to recover from the pain. Can somebody say amen? I know this is a devotional. It's best to avoid being used by a man and get a disease and got to suffer with it for the rest of your life than to get it and say, oh, I'm going to chalk this up as an experience and so I can tell people my life story. You don't need to go through that hell from Jump Street. There's some things you need to avoid altogether when you have been taught better and you know better. Take advantage of the years of others. That's what wise people do. One of the reasons why God has blessed my life so and I've been so successful by the grace of God is because I recall when I first got saved, after about 3 or 4 years, I sought counsel from wise older men. I wrote about it in the book, Letters to Young Black Men. Before I made a move, and thank God, by the way, for Brother Sammy Madison, who's probably listening right now. Thank God for him. Thank God for many others. Pastor Cuthbertson, Pastor Hamilton, times two, and many other pastors and preachers and older men, 20, 30 years my senior. In fact, all of my preacher friends are 20 to 30 years or 40 years my senior. And so I sought advice as a young man, and I gained all of the wisdom that I asked for wisdom. God gave me wisdom. And then I got all of the wisdom I could from these older men. And I applied it to my life. And I, by the grace of God, avoided a lot of things because of that. And you need to do the same. You're not going to be perfect, but you need to pray and ask God for wisdom, and you need to act wisely. And to the wicked, the Bible says, lift not up the horn. Lift not up your horn on high. Speak not with a stiff neck. Yes, we talk about the Israelites being stiff-necked. But, oh, buddy, we got some stiff-necked Christians today. Stubborn as the devil himself. Stubborn as a mule. Proud and arrogant and rebellious. And by the way, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. You're acting like a witch and a warlock when you're rebellious. Won't listen. Think you know everything, and you're constantly messing up. And God's going to allow you to keep on messing up until you confess your sins, repent, and humble yourself down and seek advice before you do stuff. Stop trying to surprise people. No one is surprised. They're just sad for you. Disappointed in you. They thought that you were smarter than that, wiser than that. To constantly do stuff you got to backtrack on. No clarity. No forward movement. And not only that, you're mad as hell all the time because of your own decisions. You have, like Samson, trapped yourself. You bound yourself up. And you're mad as the devil, and you are frustrated, and you're angry, and you're bitter at other people because you chose not to listen to them. Verse 6, for promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. Only God can do that, my dear friend, so you better get with him and do it his way. Because I know for a fact that God will pave the way for you. God will open up doors for you. But it must be according to his will and his way and his wisdom, not yours. Stop trying to plow and pave the way for yourself. And let God open up the doors for you. By your trusting in him, your believing in him, your loving him back because he first loved you, your fearing him, respecting him, reverencing him, understanding that you don't go his way, you don't do it his way, and you try to short circuit and go around him and try to do it yourself. Committing sin, compromising your biblical principles, whoring around to keep a job, and all of this kind of garbage. And then you want to come into I've been blessed after you just got out of the bed with your boss. You lying hypocrite. God's not going to bless that. He's not going to bless that. So you need to be, as Jesus said, wise as serpents, harmless as doves. Ladies and gentlemen, join me in praying for the estates and praying for others. We do this based upon 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, which says, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Holy Father God, we pray this morning for all of the unwise young people today, and sadly, unwise old people who continue to get in the ring with the devil, trying to fight him with their little fists, and he pummels them down to the ground every day because they refuse to listen to you. Holy Father God, give them wisdom, knowledge, and understanding and insight, and give them the sense not to get in the ring with the devil, not to get in the car with the devil, but rather let you fight their battles. And so, Holy Father God, we pray for all people in governmental leadership, whether we agree with them or not. They are your servants. And we pray for President Donald Trump. We pray for his administration. We pray for his White House staff. We pray for the salvation, spiritual, family, life, protection, provision, blessings upon his staff and all leaders of federal agencies, all members of Congress, all governors, and all mayors, police chiefs, and sheriffs, all military leaders, the leaders for all nations around the world. And Holy Father God, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would give all of these people wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, all of these leaders, to make the right decisions and to do the right thing for your glory, your praise, and your honor. We pray also for church leadership. Revive those who are saved and lead, guide, and direct them to lead others to revival and back to their first love by doing the first works. We also pray for church leaders who are lost and religious but lost, but who need to be saved. Open their blinded eyes and unstop their deaf ears and save their souls. Lord God in heaven, we pray for all current events around the world. You know all about them. We are not here to inform you, but to pray for the people. We pray for the comfort of all of those who have lost loved ones in the deadly bombings in Somalia. Approaching 300 in number dead, many, many hundreds more injured. And Holy Father God, we pray that you would comfort those people as only you can. The atrocities that are happening in our world cannot be comforted or really helped by human means, even though we ought to do we ought to do what we can. Grant us your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to do that. But Lord, as you know better than we do, you will have to reach down and comfort those troubled hearts as only you can do. And we pray that you would. We also pray for the media. Save those who are lost. Revive those who are saved. Help them to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Help them not to create fake news, and help them to stay out of the story, as they know from journalistic rules, journalism rules, rather. We pray also for our prayer request this morning. And we're praying just for a small percentage of the prayer request. Lord, we pray for salvation, spiritual, family, life, financial, material, physical, life blessings, protection blessings, material blessings upon everybody on our prayer list and on everybody else's prayer list who's listening in, and all of the people who've gotten saved through the ministry, all people who rededicated their life through the ministry here. We pray for Esther. Please bless her and her family. Be with her, her son, her husband, and her mother. Bless them with the money they need to live on. We pray for Mary. Please help her and her sister to pass their examination. We pray for Dalreen. Heal her sister who is under depression treatment and save her. We pray for those who have been saved through this ministry. We pray for Vivian. We pray for Nora. We pray for Esbon. Help these to grow in the faith. We pray for those who have recommitted their lives to you, Lord Jesus. We pray for Sophia. We pray for Santiago, and we pray for Jacoby. And help these to stand strong in the faith. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray, and for his sake. Amen. And so, beloved, our devotional reading for this morning is, What Will His Second Coming Be Like? By Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Malachi 3:2 says, But who may abide the day of his coming? As you all know, Spurgeon is the master of taking one verse and just going to town. Very few preachers can do that. Anyway, Jesus' first coming was without external pomp or show of power. And yet, in truth, there were few who could abide its testing might. Herod and all Jerusalem with him were stirred at the news of the wondrous birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who supposed themselves to be waiting for him showed the fallacy of their professions by rejecting him when he came. His life on earth was a winnowing fan which tried the great heap of religious profession, and few enough could abide the process. But what will his second advent be? What sinner can endure to think of it? He shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. When in his humiliation he did but say to the soldiers, I am he, they fell backward. What will be the terror of his enemies when he shall more fully reveal himself as the I am? His death shook earth and darkened heaven. What shall be the dreadful splendor of that day in which, as the living Savior, he shall summon the quick and dead before him? Oh, that the terrors of the Lord would persuade men to forsake their sins and kiss the Son, lest he be angry according to the word of God. Amen, somebody. Holy Father God, we thank you for your first coming, your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, his first coming. We thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit today that we have access to through your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Holy Father God, we thank you that your coming, your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is coming again. And we look forward to it, and we remember it. Not only do we remember his death, burial, and resurrection while we, or when we take communion, but we remember that he is coming back again, and we look forward to that. And help all of us as Christians to look forward to that, because it will have a purifying effect upon our lives if we know that and understand that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back one day. So help us to pray like it, help us to live like it, and help us to love like it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. this morning, in closing, last but not least at all, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, Jesus Christ says to you in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The Bible also says in Romans 10:9-13, that if thou you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you know the Lord as your Savior this morning? The Bible says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou you shalt be saved." Believe that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. Understand that you are a sinner. You and I and all of us have broken some of the Ten Commandments. And therefore, because of our sin, we're on our way to hell. But Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world, and all you have to do is believe in him. Trust in him. And pray and ask him to save your soul, and he will save you. So, believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that he died for you, was buried, and rose again. And pray and ask him to save you. And I'll be glad to lead you in that prayer, phrase by phrase. Just mean it from your heart. Repeat after me. Holy Father God, I realize that I am a sinner, and I acknowledge that I have sinned against you by breaking some of your Ten Commandments. And because of my sin throughout my life, I deserve eternal hell. And just like a criminal deserves jail. Have mercy and grace upon my sinful soul. And for Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for me, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Beloved, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God in the Bible, you are now saved from sin and hell, and you're on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." Until next time, my beloved, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.
Just like you said he would.